Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It's on public access channel number 6 on your television at 8 to 8:30. We encourage you to give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all of these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find our TV videos under Bible videos under the special tab, the special studies listed in alphabetical order. Please go and give it a look. We also want to invite you to our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods, and we cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you a need for God in your life and have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and visit us. Last month, we began a study in the book of 1 and 2 Peter. We spent the month of February looking at the life and background of the Apostle Peter, and then last Lord's Day, we began to look at the first chapter in Peter, verses 3 through 12. Now, we want to just review very quickly what we covered last week. Last week, we discussed the nature of our hope, and we showed that it was living in verse 3, and that it gave us an inheritance that was incorruptible, undefiled, and that would never fade away. We also have approval and honor from God, according to verse number 6, and we have the glory of heaven that's promised to those who will be faithful. And then we looked at the basis of our hope. The basis of our hope is God, His mercy, and the resurrection of Christ. And the conditions of our hope, we examine that. That is the new birth that we read about in John 3:3-5. Also faith in verse number 5. That includes belief in Christ, something that's real and genuine, but also faithfulness, as pointed throughout the study of the book of 1 Peter. That brings us to the testing of our hope. In verse number 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, "In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You see, the testing of our faith is something that is going to happen. We're not going to be able to avoid it, and therefore we should prepare for it. What do we face? Well, we face various trials. That means of all kinds and different sorts. And we need to understand that these trials can make us stronger and make us more enduring, and our faith given even a strong dose of resolve. We read this in James chapter 1 in verse number 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him." We also see in the Roman letter, in Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 3. "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us." And so, you see, the testing of our hope is by the trials that we endure. We will have grief. We will have suffering. We will have distress. It will come. How long will it last? Well, it will last for the time of the persecution, but it will be temporary. But it is temporary because it does not last, and it has no comparison when we compare it with the things that were promised in glory for all eternity. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, when everything is compared to eternity, we understand that the temporary nature of our trials and difficulties are not something that we should be overwhelmed by, but we should take them patiently, endure them, try to learn from them, and allow it to make our faith stronger. How does God view it? God views it as a test, a trial. It's a mean to test or to try. Why? Verse 7 explains it, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, it helps us to make our faith real, to make it genuine. And also, it tests us whether or not we are going to be faithful to God. And we love Him, even though we have to go through these trials. We know that this is something that will make us stronger if we allow it. And notice in verse 9 it says, we receive the end of our faith, that's the salvation of our souls. This salvation that's promised us is something that we will gain if we endure the trial and the testing that comes our way. But we also need to remember that this is something that even the angels wanted to look into. Notice in verse 10, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now you have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels desire to look into. You see, these things were prophesied about. These things the prophets carefully searched for when it would come, and indicating that it testified beforehand. In the prophets, it testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ, but it also prophesied about the glories that would follow it. And then it was revealed to the apostles, and then they revealed it to us and reported it to us through the preaching of the gospel, that we might know things that even the angels desire to look into. You see, we have the whole panoramic picture. We have all the viewpoint of how God put all of this together. And it's even things that angels have a desire to look into, and how we obtain the glory and the hope that God has promised us if we would be faithful. Now, how do we make sure that this hope is something that we can have and something that we can hold on to? Well, we have to endure. The meaning of our hope is that it's a living hope. Verse 15 says, but as you were called, you who were called are holy, be ye holy in all conduct, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And we will look at that in more detail in the next lesson when we look at being holy. But we need to be holy. That means we must be set apart. We must be free from sin. Hope is given as a reason why we should live holy, because of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We endure. This is the whole point. Knowing that trials will neither last forever, but they are temporary. Knowing the tests will prove that our faith is genuine. Knowing that will make us better and stronger and more resilient. Knowing that God is glorified when we passed our test and when we exemplify the things that He would have us to do. And knowing what is ahead, knowing what God has promised if we stay the course and do not allow Satan to move us. And knowing what we have access to that the angels and the prophets just were writing about, wondering about, wanting to know about, but yet could not know, we have the great advantage of knowing. Because we can know the plan that God made, how that plan was perpetrated, and then how it was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We see the whole panoramic view, and we see all the pieces of the puzzle and how we can appreciate what God has done through the passage of time and through the free will of man and also the providence of God. So Peter presents a focal point. He presents a focal point in these first 13 verses that can sustain us. We need to understand that we have a hope, a living hope, a real hope, a hope that will give us heaven in the end if we will remain faithful and trust God and not allow Satan to distract us or to discourage us or to get us off base. Let me kind of sum up this first lesson in 1 Peter about the hope that sustains us. This is not some pie in the sky. This is not some myth. This is not a legend. This is a true, living, breathing, alive hope. We have hope in Christ Jesus. We have hope in no other. There is no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. We need to understand that the hope that we have in God, if we really believe it, if we will really let it sustain us through the difficulties of life and through the adversity that comes our way, it can strengthen our resolve, strengthen our commitment, double our efforts, and keep our faith and our focus on spiritual things and not temporal things. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the problem so many times is we allow this world to distract us. We allow us to keep our eyes and our focus off Jesus and off the promises that he has made to those who love him. God will do everything he says he will do. God will sustain us through every trial, through every difficulty, through every adversity, through anything that is presented as an obstacle to try to steal our crown and to keep us from being with our Father in heaven for all eternity. He cannot succeed because the hope in Christ Jesus will not allow him to receive, because Christ made the difference in making it possible that we could endure and we could have this real living hope. But dear friend, as we close this morning, you need to remember, and I need to remember, that life is going to be not be smooth sailing all the time. We're going to have pits in the road. We're going to have bumps in the road. We're going to have obstacles that we're going to have to step around. We're going to have things that try to distract us, discourage us, and to reaffirm that God is not as powerful and as loving and as committed as we think he is. But the truth of the matter is this. You have a real sustaining hope in Christ Jesus. It will get you to where you want to go, and that is a home in heaven with him when this life on earth comes to an end. But in order for that hope to sustain you, you must believe in him, you must obey him, and you must allow him to help you when the testing comes, and it will come. Will we fail the test? Will we pass the test? That will determine where you and I spend eternity. May God help us to lean on the hope that can sustain us in Christ Jesus. I want to thank you for listening this morning. We hope that you'll tune in again next Sunday morning as we continue looking at some lessons from the first book of Peter. And we also want to reaffirm and ask you to come and be with us on this Lord's